Before you're seated, will you welcome each other to church this morning? Welcome to church this morning. So glad you're out. It is cold. And you know me, I like snow. I don't like this particularly because it really just needs to be snow and fluffy and nice and, you know, not like minus 10, which is, you know. But anyway, it's still good. Still good. As long as the roads don't get too yucky. So we're so glad you're here this morning. And I don't know what you need from God this morning. But this song we love doing a lot because just the truth is so powerful. It's called Every Giant Will Fall, and it makes me think of another song I've been listening to lately. And some of you that do listen to Christian music, whether it's on the radio or streaming services or whatever, there's one that I've been really into, and I'm hoping to do it here. It's a little tricky, so we'll see if I get to that or not. It's called Same God, and it's really just proclaiming the truth that I'm calling on the God of Jacob. I'm calling on the God of David. I'm calling on the God of Mary to do the same thing he did. We read those stories and we get excited and we think, how did they have the faith to go through that? Or, you know, God was so amazing. That was such a cool story. But when it comes to our own story, sometimes we don't always believe it, right? But we want to call on God in the same way. God, you can do those same things for me. Maybe in a little different way because my circumstances are different, but you're still the same God you were then and you are now, the same God. He has never changed, right? Amen? So that's kind of what this song is about too. I don't know what giants that you need to slay, but David trusted that God was going to kill the giant when he threw that rock, when he threw that small rock. He had the faith to know that God was going to be there for him. And it's really hard for us sometimes in the middle of our distress and frustrating times to do that, right? So you guys know this song, most of you. If you're new, you'll catch on.
Victory in the end. Your love is my battle cry.
that this morning, that nothing is impossible. That doesn't mean that he's going to do whatever you ask at your whim and in your timing, right? But if we truly believe that he can do anything, you know, that's where he wants us to be at, that the possibility that, you know, our will line up with his, that this is what needs to happen, God, and he wants to hear from us. He wants us to be honest with him, right? This next song, again, another one that probably one of Andrew's favorites we do, Graves into Gardens. There's nothing better than you. A simple truth. Nothing in this world is better than you, God. There's nothing. All the business, all the riches, all the success means nothing, really, in the long game, right? So if you know this, just sing it out.
Thank you.
next song we haven't done in a little while. And at first glance, the title kind of throws people a little bit because it's called Reckless Love, describing God's love for us. And you know, I see it as that's how the world sees his love. They think, doesn't make sense, that's reckless. That's a reckless kind of love, just to be all in no matter what. That doesn't make sense to our culture, our people that aren't Christians. That doesn't make sense. Why would a God do that? Why would a God love us before we knew him? Why would he love us in the middle of our sin when we fail and fail and fail? And he wants us to get back up. That doesn't make sense to people. But it makes sense to us when we're in the middle of it, saying, yep, God's got me. God's got my back. That's our God. And I hope you live like that. And that you trust him. That he chases you down. He fights till I was found. He leaves the 99. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Only deserve it because of his love, right? So let's sing this out.
Been so kind to me.
this last song, like the first, is talking about the river of God and that we need to be there. That river of God is our life, our lifeline to Him. And sometimes we're in there jumping for joy, being filled up, and there's other times we're waiting there for Him to meet us where we're at as we're going through trials and stuff. And we just need to be there on our face, on our knees, in that water waiting for Him, right? So let's sing this out, Find Me in the River.
Start today with a little story that just kind of made sense to what we're talking about a little bit. And the story is that I had this friend a while back who he used to work for this construction company, and it was kind of an up and coming company. It was a growing business, and they had a lot of opportunity for hiring. It was up closer to the city, so there was just a ton of work, right? And so he had never done anything like construction before, but he applied, and they were like, you know what, we'll teach you, like, we'll help you learn about this and help you learn the trade and develop your skills with you, right? And so it was really good for him. Like, seemed like a pretty solid job. And as time went on, it was noticed that they kind of liked him, and they were giving him a little bit more benefits and stuff like that. Like, every now and again, he'd get to take the company truck, and they were really helping him. Like, they were investing in him, right? And so as time went on, that stuff happened, and finally he was offered this new position. A little bit more going on with this position, better pay, right? More benefits. But the thing was, is he was going to be called to a little bit more responsibility, and, you know, not necessarily more hours, but it was kind of understood, you know what, your hours might be a little more uncomfortable, like they might be a little more inconvenient or unpredictable at times, but this is what we're offering you. It's going to come with the benefits, it's going to come with a better pay and all these things, but a little more responsibility. And so he thought about it, and in the end, my friend decided that, you know what, he knew he could survive on the lower pay, and so he decided that he'd prefer to keep the lower pay to not have to deal with the less convenient hours, right? He knew that what he had going was it was safe and it was secure. He knew that he had his evenings to himself and stuff like that. And so he turned down the position, right? He decided what he had going for him was working just fine, and that was good, right? And his thought process was kind of like, you know what, why step out of what I know to be predictable and secure? Right? Like, this has been working fine, and I'm making good money, and everything's fine, and it's not a ton really that's required of me. Right? Sure, it's less money, but less is going to be required of me. And as I think about this series, I'm going to be honest with you, I much prefer when I can stand up here and offer these kind of encouraging hug of a sermon. You know what I mean? It's pretty uncomfortable when we do a series like this, because we're really diving deep and investigating a God that is so big. And a God that sometimes requires more of us than we're comfortable with. And as I think about this series, like, that story felt relevant, this idea of experiencing the wonder of God. And over the course of this series, Andrew and I have been talking, and we really want to take a little bit of extra responsibility with you as believers to investigate the wonder and the depth of God, right? And it's not, the thing is sometimes we put this label on God and we picture God as a certain way. And sometimes, like Andrew was saying last week, that's our buddy, that's our friend. And then for some people who've pushed him away, it's because they think he's mean and he's not fair. And it's like there's this balance to be found between a loving God and a holy God. And that's kind of what we're investigating. As believers, we want to investigate those different aspects of God. And as we get to know that God, there very well may come times where we're going to feel that we're being called to a little bit more responsibility, right? To tasks that may not be what we feel to be in our comfort zone, right? And we're going to talk about this for a few weeks, and I'm hoping that we're able to get a better understanding of God as we do it. And today, I want to start by talking about specifically, and this is what I mean by today's message. It's a little bit of a step on the toes kind of message, but I want to talk about specifically how much you are willing to put in order to experience all that God has to offer. And I want us to be able to reflect on that honestly. Like, how much are we honestly willing to put into our faith in order to really get to know this God of wonders, right? Because one thing that we know to be true of God is that will be totally up to you, right? That's the neat thing about God, is that he offers total free will to all of us to decide how much we want. Right? And it's up to us to choose to dive deeper into our relationship with him if we want to. It's all about what you feel like you want to put in, or what you feel like you want to invest into it. Invest a little, and as harsh as it is, like, we can kind of expect to have a relatively shallow relationship with God, where we're kind of wondering, like, you know, is this it? But I really believe it's kind of about how much we're willing to put into it. Go all in, dive deeper with God, and who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how he's going to reveal himself to you, right? We sang about it. God is, you know, in certain words, he can be reckless at times, because he does crazy things for his children, And it just doesn't make sense to us all the time. But if we want to be a part of that, we kind of need to be all in, right? The more we invest in our relationship with God, the more of God you'll be able to see, the more that you'll notice that God is using you for those kingdom things, right? And I never want my messages to be something that I'm thinking up in my head and that there's just like, yeah, this is probably biblical. Like there's a parable that Jesus told that very much backs this up. This idea of how much are you willing to put in order to experience his wonder. And it's the parable of the talents, the parable of the bags of gold, if you're reading the NIV. Show of hands, just like, we're going to go over it. How many are super familiar with this parable? A few. Yeah, cool. Okay. This parable really messed me up when I was younger because I didn't understand. When you think of it, me and Victoria were talking about this last night as I was kind of going over this. When you think of the parable of gold or talents like money, it doesn't make a ton of sense. When you think of it the way that Jesus intended for it to be, it's so clear, right? And so what is the parable of the talents or the bags of gold? Well, Jesus tells this parable of a man going away on a journey who entrusts all of his wealth to three servants, right? And it says it's according to their ability, so we have to assume he didn't just grab three random people and say, I trust you with everything, right? Like he knew these guys, and it made sense, right? And so he gave one of them five bags of gold. We'll call them bags of gold for the sake of the rest of this, right? And when people kind of research, okay, how much was a talent or a bag of gold worth? Well, it says it would have been worth about 20 years' wage for one of these guys. One bag, 20 years' wage. It's not a little bit of money, right? They're being entrusted with a lot. Just to kind of emphasize the intensity and the severity of all of this, right? And so he gives one of them five bags of gold, and he entrusts them with it. And he gives another one two bags of gold, and he entrusts him with it. And then he gives the last one bag of gold. Again, each according to their ability. He kind of knew who he could trust with more and who he should trust with less. And then he went away. And when he leaves, the guy with five bags, it says he put his money to work. He put the money to work and was able to use the money to gain a profit. And by the time the master came back, he had doubled what he was given. Right? And the guy with two bags was able to do the same. He put the money to work. He was able to double what he was given. And the third guy, and this is what kind of messed me up a little bit, is that, you know, he was nervous. There was a lot of money that he was being given. He was overwhelmed by it. And so what did he do? He got nervous and he hid the money. He buried it. He kept it safe. He didn't lose it, but he didn't do anything productive with it. And so what happens? The master comes back and he wants to settle up with those that he entrusted the money to. And so the guy with five shows the master that he gained five more. Hey, look, like I doubled it up, right? And what does the master say? Well, it's that phrase that we all kind of look to as being a pretty amazing thing to hear from God. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Like, you've taken little and you've turned it into something great. I'm going to put you in charge of pretty big things now. Now come with me and join into my happiness. Join in with me and join into my joy, right? And my happiness. And then he goes to the second guy who had two bags, who had doubled it up. And buddy's like, I put the money to work. Right? I put it to work and I was able to double up and I was able to do the same. And he gets a similar response. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you little, you turned it into a lot. Now I'm going to put you in charge of even more. Come and join into my happiness. I feel like that's key too. Like join in with me in the glory of what this means. And then he goes to the third guy. And this is what really wrecked me when I was younger, because in my mind, I'm like, this guy didn't gamble. He played it safe, right? Like, you're not supposed to gamble, especially with your master's money, right? Like, so, because that's the way I understood this parable to be. And so the guy with one bag, right, he, let's read what it says, right? Matthew 25, 24 to 30. The man who had received one bag of gold came and he said, Master, I knew that you're a hard man, investing where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you, right? I have what you gave me, and I kept it safe. It's right here. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. I'm like, whoa, what? Seems like kind of a mean master. Why would he yell at him, right? And he says, so you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money at least on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have it back with interest. Then he looks at some other guys and he's like, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. And then he makes a key statement. He says, for whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it absolutely shook me when I was young to read that. Because I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand why the guy who played it safe with the master's treasure would be reprimanded and cast into the darkness, out of the master's presence, scolded in front of everybody. But the reality is this, is that the treasure is not, it's not money. You and I have been entrusted with treasure. We've all been entrusted with the honor of doing Christ's ministry. And this is what Jesus was saying when he's telling this parable. He's talking to his disciples. And he's saying one day the master is going to come back and he's going to wonder what you did with what he trusted you with. He's going to wonder what you did to carry out the ministry of the master. That's the point of the story. And when I was young, I was like, well, is the point of the story that those who are lucky enough to have will be given more and the poor will be robbed of what they have? Absolutely not. The moral of the story is that you ought to be wise with what you're given, and what you and I have been given is the promise of eternity. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? Right? That's our treasure, the secrets of heaven, the knowledge of Christ. That's what we have. And so what are you doing with that? Like your knowledge, mine and your knowledge of heaven and your specific calling that God has put on your life, that is the treasure. And you're responsible for it. And so I don't want to scare you, but what are you doing with it? What are you doing with that? Like, specifically, what are you doing to carry out the ministry of Christ? Because you've been entrusted with a treasure, right? It's clear to me now that whoever has more will be given. Right? Whoever makes something out of what they have, whoever makes something of the treasure that they've been given to carry out that ministry of Christ, whoever's doing something with what they've been given will be given more responsibility and get to join in to be a part of the wonder of God. Right? It's like you'll be given more responsibility, you'll be given more purpose, and you'll have this deeper relationship with the master because you're working together. But whoever isn't taking the treasure they've been given seriously won't be entrusted with anything meaningful. It's a crazy parable that really calls us to something big, right? The more you invest into kingdom things in your life, the more of God you'll be able to see. The more he's going to use you to lead others to him. The more he's going to use you for meaningful things that are going to last into eternity. But the crazy thing is that you don't have to be a part of it. Like, that's the free will part. You totally have the option to do like the man who hid the treasure. You totally have the option to look at this series of, like, you know, we're talking about the wonder of God, and we know the wonder of God to be this amazing, crazy thing that can't even be, it's not even fathomable. But you have the option to kind of play it safe and not be a part of that. You have the option of the guy who hid the treasure. You have the option to do like my friend did with his job in that story I told earlier. And you totally have the freedom to play it safe and stick with what you know. But the God of the Bible, as cold as this feels to say, the God of the Bible very rarely used those people for anything meaningful or amazing. It was always the ones who were willing to say, yeah, Lord, send me. Use me. Whatever you have to do, I'm ready to serve. Think of Jonah. Man, Jonah's a perfect example of this. Like God calls him to something meaningful. He calls him to something huge, to turn a city around, a city who is full of sin. And he calls him to go in there, and he's like, you go preach that they need to turn everything around. And Jonah's like, yeah, right. Like, man, I got things going pretty good right now, and you're just calling me to walk into a death trap. It's not happening, God, right? And Jonah's terrified of the task that God puts on him, and he decides to just kind of ignore God's call. I'm okay with not having the payoff of being part of your wonder, God, because I could die. And nope, so he hops on a boat of sailors, and he starts heading in the opposite direction. He gets on a boat of sailors, not pirates. Any of you guys watch VeggieTales when you were young? Oh my goodness, I can't think of the story of Jonah without thinking of vegetables. And it's so weird, but in my head, it's like they're not the pirates who don't do anything. They are sailors, and Jonah's not a cucumber, okay? So it messes with my head a little bit, but Jonah decides to head in the opposite direction to live out the rest of his life in comfort and safety, right? God put a meaningful call on his life to do something that's gonna have effects that are gonna last into eternity. But Jonah decides it's too risky, and so he flees God, and he lives happily ever after, right? No, he gets eaten by a fish. Like, it's insane. And of course, that part of the story just kind of shows, like, God is ready to work with you so that you can learn and be redeemed. But the idea is, like, if you can't be entrusted with a little, then why give you anything? Why trust you with anything? That's the parable that Jesus told. The things that God has for your life are far beyond anything you're going to experience on your own. And that adventure just sits there waiting for you to decide to take the risk and follow the leading of God on your life. But if you have no desire to know God on a more intimate level, then why do we expect to experience the wonder? Why do we expect to experience the blessings? Why do we expect to experience the miracles? I know God is gracious, but why do we expect anything good or big or meaningful to happen when we simply choose to disobey or reject what God has for us? Why do we expect to be a part of big eternity-altering things when we just sit there and refuse to play a role? Like when Jonah, who was assumed to be a man of God, like we can only assume that, when he ran from God, he kind of, it's a crazy thing to think, but he kind of became useless to the plan, right? It's like, it's that Francis Chan quote that Andrew was sharing last week. If you're not doing something to impact eternity, then what are you doing? It all fades away eventually. And we forget about that aspect of God sometimes. I think we forget that God is holy. Right? God does expect things from those who choose to follow him. We forget that he's not just some old guy that we can just ignore and wait for it to go away. Right? It's like, I feel like we treat him like that sometimes. We feel conviction. We feel him pressing in. We feel him calling on us to do something, and we're like, I'm just going to pretend that's not there. Right? It's like some crazy old guy that's going to wander off if we ignore him for long enough. We're like, yeah, he's just pretend he's not talking, pretend he's not there, right? That's how we treat the conviction of God, to do something. That's wild to me. Like, know what you're doing when you knowingly reject or neglect God's call, because part of understanding the God of wonders is understanding that he is fierce, and he holds unimaginable and, like, unquantifiable power and wisdom. And it's finding that balance, like Andrew was saying, of you know, what can we call ourselves, a friend of God? Absolutely. But there's a balance to be found in knowing that we're also to bow in reverence of who he is. Right? He's not just there to do the miracles and to be our genie in a bottle whenever we need him. We're to revere him. And I'm haunted by the sentiment behind that parable that Jesus told. Like, if you can't be entrusted to do something with little, then why give you anything meaningful to do? I couldn't entrust you with this little call that I put on your life, right? So I guess I want to ask, and I would kind of open this up, if you've been kind of with me through this, what is it that stops us from going deeper with God? What is it that keeps us from embracing his call on our life, and what makes us keep him at arm's reach? What's it been for you? Does that, if nobody has one, that's fine. But, like, why do we do that? Fear? That's fair. Who knows what he's going to call us to? That's what Jonah's was. Any others? Busyness. Yeah, like tied up with everything else we got going on in life. Yeah. What was that?
Anxiety. I didn't catch that.
Anxiety. Yeah. Yeah, kind of that same idea of like, man, it's unknown. I don't know where he's going to call me to go. And that's intimidating. That's kind of the idea that I had too. Like for me, what's held me back the most in the past is this idea that his will can lead me to unknown or difficult territories because he's God, right? And he's going to take on big things. It's just like the idea of Nineveh. He's going to want to take on big things, and sometimes it's easy to feel not big enough for that plan. But we're not called to understand. We're not called to know how it's going to all work out. We're called to be obedient. And it's a big thing. It's easy to think and to grasp, but it's hard to put into practice. It's like for me, I definitely did not see myself. I remember growing up and being at church and thinking there's no way I ever want that job, looking up at the pastor, right? There's no way. I had a plan for what I wanted to do, and I knew that I didn't want to stand up in front of people all the time. I knew that I didn't want to have to study and read for a living, right? I knew that I didn't want eyes on me all the time holding me to accountability. And it's, you know what, this is why sometimes I'm probably not going to look like the pastor that you have envisioned in your head. But it's just like I'm just trying to be obedient. And that's all we're called to, is obedience. It doesn't have to make sense in our head. We're just called to do what we got to do because his plans are way bigger than anything we're going to come up with on our own. And if we want to experience the wonder that he has waiting, we just need to be obedient to the plan. Let's close our eyes for a sec just to get a couple closing thoughts. Deciding to hand it over and to be obedient, that's where it becomes pretty hard to be a Christian, right? Because we're really just expected to blindly follow in faith, right? Because there's times we're going to have to do as Christ did, and we're going to have to take up our cross. We're going to have to leave the comfort we know. We're going to have to venture into new territories. And I acknowledge, like, I consider myself fortunate when I think of even the stories Andrew was telling last week of the people overseas, and I'm just like, yeah, I have it pretty good, but I still realize that faith could cost me at times. We got to be obedient. Right, I hope that if it's God Almighty who calls us to the unknown, like the idea of Peter in the storm, like I hope that we would just be itching at the opportunity to step out of the boat and know that we could be stepping into the miraculous. We are likely stepping into the wonder of God when we're obedient. But if God's kept at a safe distance, if God is kept in a place where he's sectioned off from the rest of your life, then how can you expect to have any kind of depth to your relationship with him? How do you expect to get to experience his wonder? Right? Consistently, all through Scripture, miracles happen when regular people leaned into the calling of God. And so I'll ask you, I want you to think about this. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? Do you know what he's calling you to? Because if not, what are you doing about that? What kind of God, what kind of time are you putting aside in order to invest in that relationship? How often do you put aside time to pray? How often do you put aside time to dive into the Word and to learn about the character of God? What are you doing to draw into him? If you're not hearing him, what are you doing to draw into him? And if you do hear him, if it's pretty clear to you that you know what your calling is in life, you know the ministries that he's calling you to, then what are you doing with that? Because I assure you, God is not this crazy old guy that you can ignore. He's not to be dismissed. He doesn't speak to us for nothing. There's always a plan. Right, Jonah thought that he would die in Nineveh, but with God in charge, the entire city heard Jonah and they turned to the Lord. Right, we aren't called to know the answers, we're called to obey. And when we do, we usually just get to see the wonder of God just pour out in front of us. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to understand that what we have, this treasure, this thing that you have given us to minister, to carry out the very ministry of Jesus Christ, that is not something to be taken lightly. God, I pray that we would understand the responsibility that we have with that. Lord, help us to have the courage if we need it. Help us to have whatever we need to step out of the boat and just do it. Just be obedient to whatever crazy things you have for our life. God, help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.